Blog Talk Radio. Live from Omaha, Nebraska, it's Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Network. And now here's your host, John Curry Sr.
Thank you and good evening. We always start with a prayer, but tonight we're going to start with an essay. Because we're going to talk about the subject of hope. And I think maybe a few of our listeners might be familiar with this essay. It has some very profound thoughts in it. And I ask you to please pay attention. To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe. To bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how lonesome, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to that glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and warm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. The beautiful and poignant words written five centuries ago by Miguel de Cervantes in Spain. The man of La Mancha, Don Quixote. But he wasn't chasing windmills. He was following the Star of Bethlehem. Good evening and welcome to Conversations with John Curry Sr. We're live from Omaha, Nebraska. This is our 188th broadcast. We're going to talk about the subject of hope tonight. And some years back when I was on the circuit, so to speak, doing a lot of public speaking, many of my addresses were motivational in nature, and I often started with the impossible dream, and very few times was there a dry eye in the audience. Okay, before we get to the topic tonight, which is an act of hope, I have a few commentary things to deal with tonight. We announced the cessation of live broadcasting with the broadcast of June the 12th, that Forward Boldly goes forward and continues, but we have not renewed and will not renew our contract with Blog Talk Radio. We've announced that. We've had some feedback, comments, etc. I want to spend a few minutes tonight talking to some of you in the audience who over the years have written me or called me and asked me, John, how do you form a lay apostolate? That's a very good question. We need some younger warriors out there, male and female. Old guys like myself are getting ready to hang it up, although I'm not really going to hang it up. But we'll talk about that a bit later in the broadcast. And the first thing I would say to you is, forming a lay apostolate is a calling. But sometimes you don't know that you're being called. And that was true in my case. Our longtime listeners, I think, are familiar with the story. But if you're new, briefly, two senior priests, one who's now past 90 and the other who's past 80, that I've known for many, many years, braced me up about 10 years ago and asked me what I was doing for the Catholic Church, pointing out that I was not using God-given talents of speaking and writing. So they called me, they prodded me, if you will. So tonight I'm going to do a little prodding on my own here. I know there are some of you out there that are reluctant for one reason or another, but you are being called. Now, you don't have to be a wordsmith like the old warrior. You don't have to be a book writer. You don't have to be a keynote speaker. But God has given you talents. He's given you abilities. And the first thing you must ask yourself is, are you using the talents and abilities God gave you? In a way that would be pleasing to God? That's a brace-up question. That's a self-examination question. When I was braced up by the two priests, I asked myself that question and, of course, came up with the answer that I was not. I was not doing anything wrong intentionally. I just wasn't doing anything. And doing is the word. A lay apostolate is action. And how I chose to deal with hot topics, I did so because I felt, frankly, that my style would be very adaptive to discussing hot topics. And I did it because I felt also that many Catholics had to be hit right between the eyes on subjects like heresy and homosexuality and hypocrisy, the meaning of sin. Yes, there is a hell, and you could go there, and a lot of other related topics that we haven't heard from the pulpits of Mother Church for a half century. And we were able to reach some people. And we were able to impact some souls, which is what an apostolate's all about. It's about your soul and other souls, and the reality that if you can help another soul or two get to heaven, your place with God Almighty should be secure. Now, I'm going to reach out to you tonight. We have two more weeks after tonight of live broadcast, but I'm not going away. And I am very interested in mentoring a few prospective lay apostles out there. We can do this over the internet, with emails and telephone, etc. Don't have to be physically in each other's presence. I want to help you. And I think I can help some of you because the experience of the past 10 years, I will assure you, has been very, very, very gratifying. I know that I have grown as a Catholic layman as a result. So I encourage those of you that may be thinking about this subject, at least subconsciously, to put it in your conscious mind and give it some serious thought. And reach out to me if you'd like some suggestions, some illustrations on some other lay apostles I know. That's the beautiful thing about this. You get to meet people that are like-minded, even though their talents may be vastly different than your own. And that's happened to me in the past 10 years. It's been a very, very wonderful experience. So lay apostles. We need lay apostles in the church. We very, very much need them in the church. And so I'm going to try to help wherever I can in this regard. I want to go over this one more time. We don't want to beat this to death. It is on the website. It's posted on the Forward Boldly website. We don't want any misunderstandings about this. Forward Boldly Radio Network has a website, forwardboldly.com. And on that website is contained a compendium of teaching on the Catholic faith from a couple of priests, from a Discalced lay Carmelite, and three laymen. My own part of the website will have 90-minute topics that you can easily find and you can stream. And for my part, we've done this a few times, and we'd be happy to do it. If you want a written copy of a broadcast, send me an email, and I'll identifying the broadcast, and I'll get you a copy of the, pardon the expression, script. Because every one of these broadcasts, we have retained the background written corroboration of all of the information that we have presented. That's why we've never been challenged, because all of this stuff is deeply researched, and there's a lot out there for people that want to learn the faith. So the Forward Boldly website will remain up indefinitely. We've chosen not to renew our contract with Blog Talk Radio. It expires after my Sunday, June 12th broadcast. And that's it's no reflection on Blog Talk Radio. Please don't think we're throwing darts at them. We are not. It's just a decision that was made, and we went into why it was made a couple of weeks ago. But it was a decision that it was necessary. And we appreciate everybody's support, prayers, and good wishes. And we will not walk away from relationships that we've developed. Please understand that. Your old lawyer is going to do some work with teaching the catechism, probably on internet television. I am going to hit the bricks again and do some live speaking. And in that connection, you can find information on my website, www.johnmcurry.com. But let me just say this. For Catholic groups, we will be probably the best deal you can find. And I mean that simply by saying that our charges are really limited just to expenses. Yes, you heard this correctly. For Catholic groups. Okay? So, you might consider taking advantage of that. And basically what you do is you write me an email or call my office. We talk about what you're interested in, time, place, and that kind of thing. And I look at my calendar, and if it's available and we agree to do it, we put it on the calendar. And we just go from there. My preference is to do, I've done 3-day retreats, but my preference is to do a presentation of two or three hours with questions and answers and interaction with the audience. So if you're in a group or looking for speakers or anything like this, now I'm on the web and you can book me directly, but then frankly, you'll pay some money because the people that do the booking have to get paid. So if you go directly with me, I'll work out an arrangement that'll be, I think, economical to you and satisfactory to me. I've never tried to make a dime in the work I've done for the Roman Catholic Church. And I continue to be of that strongly held opinion, by the way. So we'll put that aside. Now, I got some mail this week. And one of the organizations that we have publicly endorsed in these broadcasts is an organization called Human Life International. All right? This is a Catholic organization founded about 20 years ago. The president's name is Shannon Bouquet, B-O-U-Q-U-E-T, a young priest with fire in his belly. I met him, it's been more than 3 years ago when he was in Omaha, 3 or 4 years ago at a presentation dinner. He's a wonderful speaker. But he travels extensively around the world, and his organization, Human Life International, and by the way, that's the website is www.hli.com. Every once in a while, he sends people on his mailing list information about what's going on around the world in terms of the fight that his organization is waging in the preservation of human life. And this particular letter that I just received has some not so good news in it, but it's not surprising news. He says, after decades of catastrophic birth rates, the consequence of birth control and abortion, disdain for natural family planning, the rejection of God and natural law, and the population decline paralleled by an aging society, Europe is now facing a cultural, demographic, and economic crisis. Follow what's going on here. First of all, they're letting in all the refugees, okay? And the reason for that, of course, is they are not reproducing a sufficient number of native Europeans to replace the aging population. That's one of the things that never comes out in the press. The press has been totally dishonest on this point. He points out that North America is only 10 to 15 years behind Europe. And he's right. As I've researched this, we did a broadcast on this. And this is scary, folks. This is really scary. Okay. The United States is on a collision course with the reality that if we don't learn from Europe's mistakes, we're going to be have a fertility rate that is below the replacement level. February 2003, the first 15 draft articles of the Constitution of the European Union were released. They contain references to member countries' national identity and to human rights, as well as to commitments of social justice and the environment. Does all this sound familiar? But contain no mention of God or religion. As St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and others pointed out, it was a clear rejection of Europeans' fundamental root in Christianity. Yeah, you know, let's get real here. Who started all the great universities in Europe? The answer is the Catholics. Right. John Paul was not surprised at the draft. Like millions in Europe, he had experienced firsthand the consequences of an ideology that rejected God, the church, and Christian anthropology. In November 1982, he called upon Europe to reclaim its identity. This is the kind of thing that makes you a saint. Pope John Paul is in Spain, and he's addressing the King of Spain and an audience. And he says, quote, "I, Bishop of Rome and Shepherd of the Universal Church, from Santiago utter to you, Europe of all ages, a cry full of love. Find yourself again. Be yourself. Discover your origins. Revive your roots. Return to those authentic values which made your history a glorious one and your presence so beneficent in other continents." He said that to the king. Okay? The king was not amused. But what's the king going to say to the pope? The answer is nothing. This was the King Juan Carlos of Spain and the representatives of European organizations and universities were in attendance when the Pope said this. Sadly, Western and Central Europe as recently as witnessed Ireland's legalization of homosexual unions and allowance of abortion in certain cases. Ireland, folks. It continues to reject its Christian roots and embrace secularism. She places excessive weight on economic progress through individualism, materialism, and hedonism. However, Eastern Europe continues to show signs of transformation. In Romania, a petition was submitted recently with 3 million signatures demanding that natural marriage be protected in law. I like that. Poland has elected a Christian and patriotic government and finds itself under attack from the West for exercising its democratic rights. Father Shannon says, my own recent trips to Slovakia and Belarus also reveal hopeful signs of a culture radically attempting to reclaim its root identity in Christianity and the centrality of life and the natural conception. Natural family, I'm sorry. Having had radical atheism and the evils of contraception and abortion imposed upon them by ideological systems opposed to God, Eastern Europe is emerging from under this shadow. The United States has, even at a local level, unfortunately embraced the secular mentality of Western and Central Europe. And he cites some examples that we don't want to go into here because they've all made the daily press about things that are going on in our country, which are terrible. Okay. Then he says, from these local battles to President Obama's insane Soviet-like diktat forcing all public schools to allow boys to use girls' bathrooms or lose funding, we have ample reason for grave concern. Somebody asked me about this the other day, and I don't want to be profane, but my answer, I said, just think about this very carefully. If the person normally urinates standing up, they go in the boys' bathroom. If the person normally urinates sitting down, they go in the girls' bathroom. I digress. The ultimate consequences of such bombardments are unknown. However, we have seen through the United States judicial system, state and federal legislation, and executive mandates from the president, a rejection of constitutional rights to religious freedom. The Obama administration's legal war against the Little Sisters of the Poor may have failed for now, but the intention of our political class is clear, and it sure is. So we thank Father Shannon for this updated information. He's got his pulse, his finger on the pulse of the world when it comes to subjects related to human life. He truly does. Again, this is Human Life International. We really encourage you to support them. and their website is www.hli.org. I said .com before. It's a .org. www.hli.org. Okay. That's about enough commentary. We need to get to work for the Lord here now. Let me see. Is hope a hot topic? Well, for some people out there, it probably is. So we'll do the hot topic statement before we take a break. That we love and deeply respect all steadfast, Catholic, anointed, and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the Magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. Our apostolate is based upon speaking and writing with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agendas here. We promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to the compendium of faith as expressed in that catechism, which we will not alter in any way. And I think this message is so important that I'll repeat it at the conclusion of the formal remarks this evening. If you'd like to talk to me tonight about the subject of hope, you can do so by dialing area code 646-716-4669. Those streaming the broadcast can reach me. We will not work tomorrow, but we'll work Tuesday through Friday at my office at area code 402-330-4187. And, of course, my email you all have is johncurry@cox, that's C-O-X dot net. Okay. Let's take our first break. Yeah, it's about time. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. When we come back, we'll start our topic tonight, which is an act of hope. We ask that you please stay tuned.
You're listening to Forward Boldly Radio. Please visit our main page at forwardboldly.com, where you can learn more about our programming and access all our hosts' archived shows. Our hosts, comprised of both clergy and laity, are all faithful to the Magisterium and provide solid commentary on various aspects of Catholic orthodoxy and orthopraxy. The mission of Forward Boldly Radio is to spread the light of the one true faith through online media. And we take our name from St. Joan of Arc, who, when riding into battle with the army of soldiers, would hold high her battle standard and cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." We hope you'll join us in our mission by sharing our shows, praying for us, and if possible, donating to help offset the costs of running this network. All our content is free. Again, you can find us at forwardboldly.com and on Facebook. Thank you for your support, and in the words of St. Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
Let's discuss hope tonight. And in doing so, let's understand that hope is not some forlorn longing for a better future. nor is it some conjured up emotion. Hope is a virtue. In fact, a theological virtue, originated, as are all virtues, from Almighty God. It fortifies us against the sins of presumption and despair. Now, as I sat down and began to prepare this broadcast, I asked myself, how many of my audience recite an act of hope daily to ward off the despairs this world has to offer? How many of us even know the words? So let's get started tonight by making an act of hope right now. Those my age know this from the old Baltimore Catechism. An act of hope. Oh my God, relying on your almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon for my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Those words ring a bell for any of you? As I indicated, those words are taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But in this case, from the old Baltimore Catechism of my youth, as is the case with the recitation of any of the acts of the theological virtues. An act of hope contains a promise of a partial indulgence every time it is said. You know, daily prayers do wonders with our spiritual life. Today we see all kinds of hopelessness in our society. Abuse of drugs, alcohol, contraception, euthanasia, sexual perversions. These are amongst a long list wherein the root cause is a lack of hope. These sins of distraction are crafted by the devil to divert our attention from our soul to our body. I want you to think about that. The definition of sin is the body leading the soul. The virtue of hope is necessary for our spiritual survival, and for many, for their temporal survival as well. Have you ever visited a place where they treat addictions? It's a very educational experience, I assure you. Drugs, terrible. Alcohol, terrible. The New Catechism, the Catechism of 1992, states that, quote, hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit, close quote. There's a lot in that statement. And what it says is this virtue of hope echoes our reliance upon God for everything good. To whom could we go for everything good except God? As we said a few weeks ago when talking about atonement, we must rely completely upon Almighty God as Creator, Redeemer, and Savior. But we don't. Why don't we? Why do so many lack hope? Another way of saying lack a trust in the Lord. And the answer to these questions is simple. These people rely upon themselves and then discover themselves to be powerless. So now where do they go? Straight to despair. Because you see, they haven't learned or practiced the first theological virtue, which is faith. Does that make sense? They have believed the father of lies, who has told them that, quote, they can be anything they want to be, close quote. In the last 30 years or so, women have become particularly susceptible to this having it all. But that's not hope. That's presumption. Mankind hoping to save itself without the help of Almighty God. That's a sin of presumption. Do we hear that talked about in the pulpits? When was the last homily you heard on the sin, a sin of presumption? I racked my brain with that question, and I couldn't think of one for 30 or 40 years in my own circumstance. There's also a second kind of presumption, which is that God will save us without us doing any penance or having any conversion of our hearts. That's presumption. some mortal sin. And what triggers presumption? The greatest of all capital sins, the sin of pride. See, as you begin to unravel these things, the illogic of the world disappears. The believability of Satan's lies goes away. But we cannot have long-standing hope. It cannot exist, faith preceding it. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we find the following promise on hope. Here's what Paul told the Jews. Quote, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful," close quote. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Paul is telling us that Christ himself is the guarantor of hope, and no less an expert than Saint Paul, a previously great sinner, said so. Then we read Titus backing Paul up, saying, quote, "The Holy Spirit he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life," close quote. You'll find that the citation is Titus chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When Titus and Paul made these statements, the Holy Spirit had descended upon the apostles less than 2 years before this preaching. And it was very evident from the transformation of the apostles as seen by Paul and Titus that the work of the divine was the only explanation apart, of course, from the direct testimony of the men in that upper room. Place yourself in Palestine in 45 AD and think about these words. Because these great teachings have been handed to us from eyewitnesses. There's no hearsay here. The hope of eternal glory with Christ spurred Paul and Titus onward, and all of the 12 apostles. And they never again took a backward step. Scriptures tell us that. So hope gives you a very, very strong backbone. The Catechism teaches us that the virtue of hope responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every man. The old warrior has thought about that statement throughout a long life, filled with much sorrow. The loss of my two oldest kids, 47 years apart, and through faith, it brings me back every time. Parenthetically, I have to tell you that you never get over the loss of a child. And that has been God's will for Rose and I twice. But our fervent hope and belief is that we shall be reunited with them in heaven for all eternity. And that thought brings us constant joy. You see, hope keeps man from discouragement. It sustains him during times of abandonment. It opens up his heart in expectation of the eternal beatitude. Buoyed by hope, he is preserved from selfishness and led to the happiness that flows from charity. Wow. Weren't those beautiful, consoling words? No, my brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, they're not my words. They are borrowed words. You might check item 1818 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Quote, our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, close quote. Another scriptural citation that I learned early in grade school. Now there's some real knowledge to hang on to. Not some modern bromide or platitude. A very basic and important part of our spiritual knowledge. How many have tossed this away from my own generation? Many. How many from the current generations have never learned it? Countless. There is a prayer target for us right there. The connection between our own creation and judgment. More dots to be connected in this disjointed world. Many, many people in this world go day to day having no semblance of hope. They go through the motions of an aimless life, devoid of faith, many in abject poverty, many in areas of oppression, and many simply victims of birth and circumstances. Only the Lord God can understand. We should pray for all these souls that the Holy Spirit will guide them towards the virtue of hope, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dealt with such circumstances during his short life on earth. Think about it. He was born in a stable, endured a long ride with his mother on an ass to Egypt as a newborn infant, wherein he experienced poverty firsthand. God knows the human condition because he himself experienced the human condition. That thought should give us very, very great hope. It's time for our second break. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. We'll come back after this two-minute break to devote another 30 minutes to this topic of an act of hope. We ask that you please stay tuned.
Radio. Please visit our main page at forwardboldly.com, where you can learn more about our programming and access all our hosts' archived shows. Our hosts, comprised of both clergy and laity, are all faithful to the magisterium and provide solid commentary on various aspects of Catholic orthodoxy and orthopraxy. The mission of Forward Boldly Radio is to spread the light of the one true faith through online media. And we take our name from St. Joan of Arc, who, when riding into battle with the army of soldiers, would hold high her battle standard and cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." We hope you'll join us in our mission by sharing our shows, praying for us, and if possible, donating to help offset the costs of running this network. All our content is free. Again, you can find us at forwardboldly.com and on Facebook. Thank you for your support. And in the words of St. Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
Okay, we're back. I want to talk about Christ's public life for a minute with reference to hope. During his public life, much of his preaching touched upon the subject of hope. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, wherein he proclaims the Beatitudes. They trace the path that leads through the trials that await the disciples of Jesus. That's us. In reporting this, St. Paul said to the Hebrews, quote, "This hope we have as a sure and firm anchor of the soul, reaching even behind the veil, where our forerunner Jesus has entered for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," close quote. You'll find that in a citation is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or in his epistle to the Romans, Paul again shores up hope in the faithful by saying, quote, "Rejoice in your hope, be patient in your tribulation," close quote. What's he saying here? He's reminding us again that hope is a virtue that when used properly more than offsets the trials of this life. That's what he's saying. And I've sure found that to be true. Think about it. Historically, Christian hope takes up and fulfills the hopes of the chosen people, which had its origin in the model of Abraham. Abraham was abundantly blessed by the promises of the Father fulfilled in his son Isaac, who was in turn purified by the test of his father's sacrifice. Abraham, against all odds, believed and became the father of many nations. The Old Testament references Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 to 8, and again Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. And there's a New Testament reference, which is Romans chapter 4, verse 18. So there's plenty there in Scripture to shore up our hope. The story of Abraham has been handed down through the ages as a vivid reminder of the Lord's mercy towards those who practice faith and hope. In his discussion of hope, the Catechism of the Catholic Church mentions the life of Saint Teresa of Avila, a Spanish mystic and doctor of the church, who founded the Order of Discalced Carmelites along with Saint John of the Cross. As many of the listeners know, the founder of the Forward Boldly Network, Christine Niles, is herself a discalced Carmelite. Teresa, like many great saints, lived a very tough life, losing her parents early and experiencing sickness and suffering and torment. She became convinced that she was not strong enough to overcome original sin without the constant intercession of Jesus Christ. As an impoverished nun, she embraced the hope that the God-man offered each of us. Teresa became famous for her quotations about the spiritual life. Indeed, an entire section of her biography is devoted to these quotations. I found one that each of us can turn into a prayer, especially if we find ourselves wanting in the virtue of hope. Listen to the beauty and profundity of what Teresa wrote. Quote, "Hope, O my soul, hope. You know neither the day nor the hour. Watch carefully, for everything passes quickly, even though your impatience makes doubtful what is certain and turns a very short time into a long time. Dream that the more you struggle, the more you prove the love you bear for your God, and the more you will rejoice one day with your beloved in a happiness and rapture that can never end." Close quotes. Is that beautiful? I believe these words are made to order for the frustration Orthodox Catholics feel today for the state of Holy Mother, the Church. When will these errant bishops wake up and reform? When will the hypocrites and the heretics and the active homosexuals and lesbians simply leave? When will sin be called sin again? And when will public rebuking of it return to the example of Christ? All such questions, and there are many more, lead to extreme frustration and eroding away of hope. But Teresa simply tells us, "Hope, O my soul, hope. She tells us to focus on hope, and she had many visions with the Lord wherein these instructions were reiterated. By the way, her life is really worth reading. There's all kinds of books. You could go to the net and find all kinds of information on St. Teresa of Avila. That's A-V-I-L-A. It's a place in Spain. Okay. Focus on the virtue of hope to the exclusion of all else, for, quote, You know neither the day nor the hour, close quote. For those in the audience, the old warrior's age and beyond, I think those words should brace us up, shouldn't they? Yes. They should brace us up. Watch carefully, for everything passes away quickly. Don't get lost in the pace of life on earth, but rather become transfixed on being attentive to souls, our own and those of our neighbors. How many times have we told our teenage grandchildren to, quote, slow down, close quote, and just think? Off that distraction of the handheld device and just contemplate why you are here and where you are going. And the response is something like, quote, oh, Grandpa, let me show you how this works, close quote. And Grandpa replies, quote, no, no, listen to me. And I'll tell you how your soul works. I see some smiles in the audience. And I could do this because of the technical advancements of the internet. We have to have a little fun here. Okay. Then St. Teresa said, quote, for everything passes quickly, even though your impatience makes doubtful what is certain. Close quote. And then I immediately thought of this scriptural quotation. Of these there remain faith, hope, and charity. Do each of you recall that scriptural statement? Teresa certainly did. And that is exactly what she's talking about here. Human impatience can never invalidate certain reality. That's the illogic of the world, and it's false. The word remain means permanence and immutability. Then she finishes with, quote, and turns a very short time into a long one, close quote. We humans wail all the time. When will these torments ever cease? Minutes seem like days, and days seem like years. That's what she means. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I found that when we are severely tempted by the devil and in a great battle, it seems to go on unceasingly. Padre Pio in his cell at night, being buffeted by the demons, is a great commentary to read on this point. And, brothers and sisters, we should pray for such an opportunity to defend the faith in privacy. Let me give you one that always works when you're being assailed by the devil. Simply tell him that it's not going to work. You're not going to believe his lies. We know his motivation is evil. And then you say, and you're going to be in hell forever, and I'm going to be in heaven forever. And you know what? He leaves. It's worked for me. Okay. Saint Teresa then continued. You're getting the impression I like Saint Teresa, and I do. Quote, dream that the more you struggle, the more you prove your love that you bear your God. Close quote. Now there is a great, true, summary statement of hope. Let the world, the flesh, and the devil take this true statement from you. Cross the finish line in full stride. Your daily morning offering attests to this truth. And then Teresa finishes this prayer with a final thought. Quote, and the more you will rejoice one day with your beloved in a happiness and rapture that can never end. Close quote. Teresa experienced rapture during her life, whereas most of us will not. But the thought of everlasting bliss and peace and tranquility should fill us with the constancy of hope that this virtue intends. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Teresa's prayer is my prayer for you, that we can know the glory of heaven promised by God to those who love and trust his will. In every circumstance, each one of us should hope, with the grace of God, to preserve to the end and obtain the joy of heaven. That's the doctrine of Holy Mother, the Church, on hope, as affirmed by the Council of Trent in the 3rd century, and is cited in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. We love and deeply respect all steadfast, Catholic, anointed, and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers, and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the Magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. Our apostolate is based upon speaking and writing, with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agenda. We promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to that compendium of faith expressed in the Catechism, which we will not alter in any way. Next week, my brothers and sisters, will be our 189th broadcast. We're going to talk about an act of love, the third of the theological virtues, an act of love. We hope that you'll join us at that time. Tonight we say the final prayer that we normally start the broadcast with. And tonight I'm going to do it in English. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You've been listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. Until next week, we bid you God's blessings and good night. I don't know what's going on. Come on, what's the matter with you tonight? I think it's screwed up.